Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Catch you down.
There's Zach Wolchuk planting the flag for you here, top of the hour. We're live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall. It's right off 30. Just come on over and you can take a right at that first exit. I think it's 67A. You'll be here before you know it. And we're here with our friends at Stella Artois.
Man, that beer is nice and cold.
Yeah.
Out of that tap.
Oh, it's just get
you
one. You'll be feeling
right. Get you a bunch of them.
Delicious food, though. Had one of the best shrimp baskets I've ever had in my life.
Shrimp was no joke.
Okay. And salute to the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold, wherever you may be.
I love you, CA.
It's time to talk some basketball, and there are juicy rumor-rooskies afoot. Here's the Chief.
Yeah, hot off the presses, ladies and gentlemen. This is fantastic. Thank you for granting my birthday wish of making sure that we have a nice rim sesh live from the Brass Tap. First time in the history of the G-Bag Nation. We go ahead and cut the lights out. We put the kids to bed. And we're all going 56 inches around that rim.
Rain dance!
Wow. The beer works.
It's double shot tequila.
It's always a special occasion.
Another one?
Wolchuk is rain dancing at a level like this.
Woo!
Gosh, rain happy dance. Birthday to me, man. This is beautiful.
I don't think I've ever seen Wolchuk with a hat on.
Oh, I've worn one.
How much hats? What would you say your hat percentage
level?
Is? I would say his hat percentage is in the single digits.
I would say 7%.
Yeah, I think that you might get two or three times a year that I wear a hat.
Sporting events, right?
Yeah, maybe not even really.
Really?
It's usually only work functions.
Outstanding. I thought you were, you know, stars cap no. at the
NAAC. If you got him an Ohio State hat, would he look like Ryan Day?
Well, when you have that great hair.
That. I hate that guy.
Would he look like Ryan Day?
Yeah, but Wolchuk doesn't have to dye his beard to look like
no,
that.
I can't,
that's the big difference.
Ryan Day.
But that's actually a really good pull. It's a good call. I mean, he's a handsome guy.
I've been told that before.
Oh, really?
Not that he's a handsome guy, but that...
You look like him?
Yeah, the side-by-side things happen.
You look dead like right his
I think. I think for
brother.
Halloween, you need to go like as Ryan Day.
I think Ryan Day looks like me. Let's step off, Ryan.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Own this thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you from like 12 months ago.
I'd beat Michigan.
You'd beat Michigan four times. And the title.
Harbaugh's
hit Dawson
the
right in the hit Dawson.
I'm not
going to
hit him. I'm not Sean. I don't threaten my teammates.
Watch me. Let me go down there.
You would.
I'm going to hit you first.
Do you want to get punched in the freaking face?
Freaking.
We should,
freaking
that
beer.
Was we could good, have though, Dawson.
A Ryan Day like punch fest of sorts where you could have Tolos come up and if you want to take like you got to think Mooney to Mayor. If Wolchuk's going to dress up like Ryan Day,
he'd probably.
I could
take
see
Dutch,
Mooney.
Dutch
like,
would take
paying, like
take
to
a
charity,
swing.
Like right to charity.
Yeah.
This is where you get to come punch a Ryan Day lookalike.
I think you need to go over to Holland's house, full Ohio State. Ryan Day gear.
Well,
on.
The door would be unlocked, so I'd walk right in. but then he'd kick me out.
No, he wouldn't.
I'd say
Dutch likes you.
I'd say what's up to Trey Lance, and then he'd kick me out.
Well, speaking of Derek Holland, I got a feeling he was full torque last night with what the Mavs had going on to start that game. They wasted no time putting it on the worst team in basketball, potentially basketball history. This is what you're supposed to do to an opponent like this. This is just what the doctor ordered every time the Wizards are on the sked. It doesn't matter who's in the lineup. Fortunately for the Mavericks, Klay Thompson was in the lineup, and he was making it splash. And those moments right there, that capability to erupt in that sort of way is the reason why you have him. And those opportunities are obviously more abundant when you have your full arsenal of Avengers with Luka and Kyrie, and even, of course, Derek Lively being on the floor. The space that Klay Thompson creates, and when he can get hot like that, that is a series-winning type of player. If you can channel that, how often can you channel that, Klay? So it was just a nice confidence booster for him and some others. I mean, Hardy was awesome last night, efficient. Omax, the youngster, that's beautiful stuff. So if you could just play the Wizards every single night,
you'd
be the best team in basketball history.
Yeah, Larry O'Brien Trophy, just bring it on over if you had to play those guys every night. I need to do a deep dive study on something basketball related metrics. And see, Chief, do you know this?
No.
Like, I wonder when Klay Thompson, when he has to play, what the Mavs' record is when he has to play more than say 29% of the time. You know,
I got you.
Or
yeah.
Are they a better team when he plays less? And I mean this in a way that, like, because of what Dawson's kind of talking about, with defensive liabilities and things like that, is the less he plays, the better the Mavs are. Now, he's capable of knocking down all kinds of shots, but he'll also miss some shots too. You know, he's not the same player he was.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you have to respect what they were doing in Golden State, the fact that him and Curry, those guys, no defense. You want to talk about Draymond Green? You know, like, that dude must have had to play his ass off every night on defense to make up for what they were going through. But I think there's something we need to dig into, because I know earlier when we started talking about him and when, you know, and he's having to play now because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can't sit him with this roster the way it currently is. If you sat him right now and brought him off the bench, that's kind of disrespectful, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You
know, so I just don't know. I mean, I wonder if there's a metric there that could tell me what the Mavs record is when he plays 25%. Or what, or his, their record when he plays more than 29%.
Yeah, yeah, we should dig into that a little bit.
Yeah.
My Klay Thompson stat of the day for you is potentially more of a Steph Curry stat of the day.
Oh.
That was his 52nd career game with seven or more three-pointers made for Klay Thompson.
Okay.
Wow. 52 times he's played in a game where he hit at least seven threes.
Wow.
Okay,
legend.
Now he's number two all time.
Woo.
Steph is number one. If Klay has 52 of those games, how many do you believe Steph has?
53, 69, 74, 100, 142. Whoa.
142 games with
Twice
seven,
the best shooter of all time.
With seven or more threes. And Clay's number two. So the gap here
that is, incredible.
Is quite large. And thank you to Stat Mamba for that nugget. Okay, now we have some big time news, because Shams is reporting that the Kings are open for biz as it pertains to the young point guard, De'Aaron Fox. And this is within the hour. He says the Kings are expected to open up talks to potentially deal all-star De'Aaron Fox ahead of the February 6th trade deadline. Mm-hmm. There will be plenty of suitors, he says, but it's believed that Fox has a target destination in mind ahead of 2026 free agency. So he obviously, like all these guys, when they want to leave, they usually have a team or two that they're saying, hey, get me to one of these two teams. So
here's the team I want to re-sign with.
Now, Shams is on record as saying that team is not the Lakers.
No.
It is not the Lakers.
Celtics.
Nope.
I don't imagine it's the Celtics.
Probably Wemby and the Spurs.
It's Wemby. Spurs. Wemby and the Spurs is the most obvious connection.
It's a good fit.
Like, for basketball reasons, that is the ideal landing spot.
Yeah,
now, that really, really sucks. If Wemby's going to now have Fox as his running mate, that is a really, really nasty duo of young studs on the rise.
Yeah.
You can't trade that guy in conference. I don't care what the guy says. You know, that just...
Yeah, it depends on how much he tries to strong arm it, where it's like, no other team, I don't want to play for you. So everybody's like, okay, well, crap, I'm not going to trade for you then. You know?
Yeah.
But I think the Miami Heat are the other team that might be. He's apparently like
that makes sense.
Best friends with Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
So that particular relationship could potentially, maybe they work something out with Jimmy Butler. You know, I know the Spurs.
So the Spurs are in a LeBron problem right now, where you get Wemby, you put some veterans around him, and suddenly we're not in a position to draft superstars anymore.
Right.
Right. So you're waiting for Wemby to drag you to a final and then hopefully beat a completely deconstructed basketball team. You can't, in the West, give them their other superstar that they can rain hell on you for the next decade under.
I'm totally
that with would
you.
Make Sacramento my most hated team in the association.
That's a great point. It's a great take. And I will say, on the other side of that coin, if I'm the Spurs, I'm doing everything in my power, potentially even overpaying, if that's what it takes,
sure,
to make sure that I get this guy, because I got to start this Wemby clock as quickly as freaking possible.
I mean, they don't have much other ammunition other than draft picks to trade, but that might be what Sacramento wants. You know, load me up, even though they're going to be picks in the 20s. Maybe we'll have a year in there where Wemby gets hurt and we get a sudden pick out of the top 10. But yeah, and if I'm the Mavs, how can we block this? You know, I'm willing to take a half step back on this year's probabilities, move on from Kyrie Irving, some of my other picks, send him out west and bring in a guy who's almost got all of Kyrie Irving's skill, 10 years younger and not as injury prone.
There you
know?
Go.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm here for a situation like that. That'd be beautiful. And if you do a little trade block, you know, you find a way to
two birds, one stone.
Yeah, we frown upon C blocking, but T blocking, that's fair game.
I think so. You know,
You know, I've seen some C blocks that have been nasty over the years. Huh. You know, unbelievable, legendary type stuff. But, I mean, I think the Kings would block every team in the West from competing for championships in the not-too-distant future if you bless them like that.
They should.
It's one thing to watch them tank and get Tim Duncan and then Wemby. You know, they tank like once every two decades, end up with a transformational type player. You can't help them in the trade market. Well, this Wemby guy, do you watch his games? It's insane.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Yes, yeah. He is... He's phenomenal. We got to watch him the other day at Christie's in the Paris game.
Yeah.
That was a home game for him, of course, and he went berserk. Yeah. And just watching him, it's a completely different type of experience. And I have a Wemby stat of the day for you.
Mm.
Wemby leads the league in blocks.
Sure.
Anthony Davis is second. The gap is Victor Wembanyama at one with 150 blocks and Anthony Davis with 88.
Whew. Wow.
I mean, he's almost doubling up Anthony Davis, which has been one of the premier rim defenders in the sport for quite some time. And he's talking about how the narrative is that Wemby's just going to get the DPOY, like, just because. And there's plenty of other things to grade the differences between the two. But when it comes to blocks, there is no question. There is no narrative. That is just a stone-cold fact that Wemby is not a guy. I mean, and we see it all the time. And in transition, it's a 2-on-1 or 3-on-1, and these guys are like, "Nope, let's kick this back out. Somebody hit a 3, please." And he can even block that. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, the most impactful defensive player I've ever seen. You know, just the anti-gravity that he has pushing people out. It's just a matter of time. You know, with good health and Popovich, and you know, a couple of more seasons, they'll get the shooters around him to score enough points that they're going to have a tremendous advantage for the championship. I mean, watching the movement of the ball, we can only probe a little bit. We're not serious. I mean, guys get in the middle there; they're not even looking at the rim.
No.
I'm not even thinking about it.
No, because he's gonna send it into the rafters.
No, not today.
Now, from a Jimmy Butler standpoint, the Heat suspend him indefinitely, and it is imminent that he is going to end up being traded here. Windhorse says from ESPN that the last 48 hours or so, and definitely tonight after the suspension, because Jimmy Butler showed up to the arena last night off his 2-game suspension, and they told him that he wasn't going to be in the starting lineup, and then he just left. So it's like,
it's all right, Pepe.
You know what? We're done, Ski.
Pace Russell
in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
Salute.
Rock wall zone.
Cutting glass. All-time glass cutter, Peyton Russell.
Big time.
Look at those things.
Chilly out there.
So the Heat's asking price for Jimmy Butler has dropped precipitously. They are willing to do more than they were when this all started last month. The Heat are trying to get this done. So Jimmy Butler on the move. We'll see where that goes. That's probably going to be a multi-team trade. Maybe they could try to work in Fox, but that seems to be very, very likely. And the Sixers are a team to watch as it pertains to Jimmy Butler. Maybe they have some level of a reunion. Just sprinkle a little Jimmy Butler into that disaster that is the Sixers. That seems like a good recipe. That seems
this
smart.
Isn't going to go well for whoever ends up with him, but I think every team going for him, it's like, well, what else are we going to do? Let's bring Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, to the Suns, to the 76ers.
Solve our problems, Jimmy Butler.
By the way, wild scene last night. Did you see the there was like a piece of shrapnel that fell off the Jumbotron in Minnesota and almost hit Rudy Gobert?
No.
And everybody was like, dang it.
Why didn't it hit him?
Because it didn't hit him.
Was that Blue Star Construction there?
It was like a
things falling off the ceiling.
Yeah, that's very FedEx Field of
Shots that. Fired.
I mean,
that would have been poop.
It didn't actually hit him, though, but the idea that you could be playing and something could be falling from
it's
the
terrifying.
Jumbotron, that's a concussion waiting to happen.
That's not good.
You gotta button up over there, Alex Rodriguez and company, if he's even, I don't even know, but I'd like to blame him for something.
Yeah, it's target center just not very stable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Get well a good set. Drill and an Allen wrench up there. Make sure everything's tightened up. You know, some of these teams, I don't know.
Some people might be pushing it up there, you know.
You never know.
Okay.
Pushes.
Thanks to the Brass Tap for having us here in Rockwall. We're about halfway done with the show.
Damn it.
It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Just halfway. Okay, we've got brands that remind you of your childhood in honor of National Lego Day.
Oh.
What reminds you of your childhood? 877-881-1053 and a new Rangers announcement. That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. You never know who you're going to run into at a break there. That was a very interesting conversation.
We're live at the Brass Tap here in Rockwall, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. It's presented by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Now here he is, Zach with an H. Your Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much. Big Ranger news. As the Rangers now, as we had the announcement of Ranger Sports Network, they have announced that a standalone direct-to-consumer streaming option with the parent company of Victory Plus as well. But the Rangers have now announced deals with major linear traditional cable providers, DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, AT&T UVerse, and Spectrum. So the Rangers are finalizing details with other providers.
Look at that.
Also planning a 15-game over-the-air package, something they haven't had since 2014, that could extend to more than 30 of the designated market areas in the club's five-state territory, which includes Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and part of New Mexico. So in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, that over-the-air package would air on CW33. So for the Mavericks games, obviously you've now got Channel 29. But for the Rangers, for that specific 15-game over-the-air package, you could find it locally on CW33. So all kinds of ways to watch your Rangers this year. You can do the Victory Plus if you don't want to mess around with it, get the $100 game package, and you'll be able to get every single game. You'll get some spring training games. Or you can go ahead and do the Rangers streaming network, and then you'll also have the ability to watch them on DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, UVerse, and Spectrum.
I kind of feel like the reaction would have been so much better if this news came out before the $100 deal they dropped, 2 weeks ago or whatever?
That people have already spent money on?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why, Brian.
Well, some people
that's
have.
Exactly why.
I guess that's the business move. Like, no, sorry, you're going to have to pay for it right here.
Yeah, you're only going to get Ranger games if you get this $100 for
it. Jump on it now. It's the best possible deal. Hurry, 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 hurry.
Well, I certainly don't.
Hurry, hurry.
I don't blame, you know, everybody for trying to make money on this, but what a disaster about the last 15 years have been with these regional sports networks and, you know, having to go on a scavenger hunt to figure out what platform they're on. It seems like we're getting back to some sort of normalcy with, I have cable TV or I have satellite dish. Of course, if I'm paying a significant amount of money for my sports packages, I have my local teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you couldn't assume that anymore. So I think maybe the falling ratings, you know, over the last couple of years has probably put an impact to these owners. But I think a lot of the owners should be, like, legitimately embarrassed for how much of a pain in the ass they made it for their fans. You know, you want to give it to the highest bidder, but have some sort of, you know, a safety net in there to avoid what we've, you know, been through. Like, as a sports owner, if your entire metropolitan area can't access your games easily, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it should be a no-brainer.
You're slitting your throat.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
Nobody ever wants to do that.
Nope.
Don't go full
slit. Usually not.
Can't say nobody ever.
Oh, that one time. Okay, top 10 brands that remind you of your childhood, 877-881-1053, seamless transition. And shout out to the Jerry Jones impersonator at our bar. Yeah, Brandon, I got you, brother. Thank you so much. Hornitos is what we're drinking to right now. Cheers to you, sir. Cheers to you.
And thanks for the Stella.
All right, hold on, Eric. I need you to vamp for me. I'm going to take this on air live
okay,
right now.
Wold
live boozing.
Woldchuck without a lime is just going to hammer home this single shot after the first half double. He comes second half with the single. Much so got the stank face with that one.
You got to man up a little bit.
Oh, chasing it with a little Stella
beer. A little
bit
more stoic.
That's the beauty.
With your
liquor. So delicious. I don't really, you know,
What are we looking forward to, Dawson? You think about 6 o'clock here.
We're good. That's the last one.
Pure chaos.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. Are you ready for the whole?
This is my last segment that I have to run, Brian. After this, it's wheels on.
I'm just hoping that we can get another Woldchuck CA flag.
Where were we that time that he just?
Oh my God!
What was that bar?
We were in Richardson.
That hot bar.
It was Richardson
bar. That bar that was like 100 degrees.
Okay, Brian. They're sweet, sweet people. They're never going to invite us back.
And I didn't say the name of it.
Yeah, we did.
RBG.
But that Woldchuck, remember how drunk he got?
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, he had to apologize.
He took his headset off.
Was that a bag of ass? You tell me if it was a bag of ass, right?
Oh, that was the bag of ass moment.
That was the bag of ass
moment. That's right.
This one I'm not really sure is going to go over well.
You wore that, though. I was proud of the way you sunk into that.
I'm so sorry. I'm a, I'm really bad at my job right now.
I think the brand Hasbro, you know, resonates in my mind. It was a maker of some great toys, including Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Number 10 on the list, Hasbro.
Tonka
Hemingway. It's a hell of a defensive tackle in this class.
How about Hess?
What about him?
Hess Trucks? Never heard of him.
Oh, that's the oil company from New Jersey?
I was more of a Hot Wheels guy.
The green and white? The green and white trucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mom was from Jersey. I didn't realize it was just a strictly a Jersey thing, but we had a buttload of those.
That's why you call them Porter Jones.
It's Hess used to own the Jets the before Woody Johnson.
Hess. Oh, really?
Yeah, Hess is owned
that. Oh, Woody Johnson was a Hess guy?
Wow. No. Hess
I'm a Woody
owned
Johnson
the team
guy?
Before Woody Johnson.
Hess owned
Oh, Hess owned the team. Okay,
Woody.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
But now Brick owns.
Dots connected. One of my core memories, though, is running a Tonka truck into the sheetrock, you know, the drywall, and punching a hole in it.
How pissed
and
were your parents?
It devastated me. I must have been like 5 or 6 years old because I didn't get the Tonka truck back for a long time.
My parents
realized I wasn't responsible enough to rip that thing around the house.
Yeah,
without running it.
You
into
throw
an occasional
a Tonka
wall.
Truck at somebody, humming. You're going to hurt them. I swear.
Yeah. It was built.
Did you guys ever have?
Solid.
Here's another one. You ever have? I bet you Dawson had one of these. I bet you Lucius might have one, too. G.I. Joe.
Okay, yes. Oh,
absolutely. Hundreds.
All right, Lucius, what reminds you of your childhood on National Lego Day?
Hey, G.I. Joe was cool, bro, but them little green men, they were...
Oh, the little army men?
Oh, that you could play like...
We used to have, Lucius, you're right. We used to set them up, and we took those thick bank rubber bands you wrap money with.
There were so many of them.
And you could take the rubber bands and just, like, wipe out a whole company of them.
You're recreating D-Day with these little green
exactly.
guys.
It's like, push, and then all the bank rubber band would wipe out, like, 12 of them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You were probably too old. Oh, sorry, Lucius.
Because it was all about setting them up.
It was about,
it was just
setting,
about
them
setting them up. You really couldn't do much after that. It's just about the setup. Yeah.
There was always the one guy that was the bayonet dude, you know. Yeah. He was like the flamethrower dude.
Look at this. So this would be your standard Star Wars figure.
Oh.
Man. Okay, this is a stormtrooper. Remy likes me to have this wherever I go. She wants to play with the stormtroopers, which is what she calls any Star Wars figure.
They're all stormtroopers.
They're all stormtroopers.
Okay. Like that's cool.
They didn't have the bendy knees. You know, when the G.I. Joes came back, he had the bendy knees and arms. That's when it kind of went next level.
G.I. Joe had lifelike hair, and he also had the ability to talk. You know, they had that.
You see, you guys had a different G.I. Joe in the
70s. Oh, no, in the
70s. We had the little plastic figures.
Our G.I. Joe, you could set him on fire and act like, you know, something bad was, oh, look out, he's on fire. You know, you have to put him out.
817, I got a Hess truck every Christmas for 30 years. Grandpa was from Jersey. Boom, there you go. Transformer Legos from the 254. Power Rangers action figures from the 940. I will say, Power Rangers does remind me of my childhood. I think I probably dressed up as like the Red Ranger one year.
Do you guys ever have slot cars? The racetrack slot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you
build
the tracks
and then
they went around the track. And
you always had to slow down on the corner.
You had to slow down or you're
going to
like just go flying off the track. Yeah. Yeah, Hot Wheels were great for me.
As a kid, for me, like the best, I think one of the best gifts I ever got was, it was like this little hockey goal and little stick, and I would just run around my entire house playing hockey against myself during the Stanley Cup playoffs in the late 90s when the Stars were making their run.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'd be like commentating like I'm scoring the goals like Mike Modano.
Wow.
Yet couldn't skate. Never have. Mm. Never will. But maybe I should have been a hockey player in another life.
I did that with a golf club, a racquetball, and my sister's dollhouse. Her dollhouse was the goal.
That's fun. You just kind of like make, like as a kid, you can find a way to be creative with anything and just have fun with it. Like I miss kind of that whimsical nature.
That's what not having a tablet will do.
Dead to you in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as you get bored now, you're watching YouTube or TikTok or whatever.
No, these kids, it's terrible. I mean, my poor daughter's about to be 1 year old. She sees a screen. It's like, mesmerized, zombie-like. Like, I don't know. Do I want you to watch television? I mean, you can watch football with daddy, but that's it. No more TV for you.
Hey, is this strictly about just toys or is it just brands from back in the day that you messed with?
I think
it's brands. It's brands.
Okay. So do you remember the store called Oshman's?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Lucius, yes. Sporting
did Oshman's close down? Do they not have Oshman's anymore?
They used to. One I went to was on Forest Lane.
Yeah, I went there with my grandpa a lot.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
so you loved Oshman's.
You get your cleats from over there, and you get your Rydell helmets.
Yeah. And your mouth guard that you had to dip in the boiling water.
Bro. The Rydell helmets.
They got the pro player jackets. That's throwback.
Oh, yeah, the pro players, you're right. Good call.
Man, the level up from the Shutt helmet to the Rydell helmet.
The Rydell.
What a moment that was. That was big.
He went from being concussed every year to like having somewhat of a chance.
First Lead 4 years, your head, kid.
First four years of tackle, I was a shut guy.
No wonder. That explains a lot. Okay, let's get to the brands that remind you honorable mentions of your childhood. Fruit Loops, or Fruit Roll-Ups, excuse me.
Oh, Fruit Roll-Ups.
Fruit Roll-Ups are like Fruit by the Foot.
Fruit by the Foot.
I freaking love that.
My mom tried to make homemade Fruit Roll-Ups. It was so disappointing because they were the healthy.
What?
Yeah.
Ew, that's gross.
She'd put them on like some sort of plastic sheeting. It was terrible.
Gabby, tell me what you think. Oh, these are trash, Mom.
Yeah, those are good. Where's the sugar? Ice Pops, which you would pretty much get at every summer camp every year.
Let me ask you this, though. The Ice Pops, was that in the plastic?
Yes,
You cut the top off.
Pretty good.
You got blue, purple, red.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
McDonald's. I do think McDonald's does an excellent job of just, like, advertising for kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Like they've got toys. Yeah, and the McDonald's Happy Meal, like the box. Yeah. Like, there's something that's very pleasing.
Is that for a girl or a boy?
As a child.
Boy.
I love the Mighty Kids toy as a kid. Yeah.
Back in the good days.
My little fat Woolchuck self, you know, the Mighty Kids meal, it was 6 McNuggets instead of the 4 on the kids meal.
So you went Mighty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I'm like, ha, 2 more McNuggets.
Big Mighty Woolchuck.
Then add a Big Mac on there, Mom. We got the Toys R Us at 13.
What toy?
Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Now gone.
Giraffe, right?
Yeah. Sega and Slinky are your honorable mentions. And Sega Dreamcast, first console I ever had.
Slinky.
Sega.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
You guys never had a Slinky,
console.
Did you?
Of course.
Slinky?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hacky Sacks.
Number 10 is Hasbro. You nailed that one, Gabby.
Yep.
Nerf, like Nerf guns.
Nerf football.
Nerf football around the pool was great.
Yeah. Still to this day, Nerf football around the pool is great. Yeah. Like, you're never too old for that.
Always jumping off the diving board, trying to make a diving catch.
Making the snag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Number 8. I need help with this, guys. Mattel.
Made a lot of toys.
Mattel made a ton of toys. Like space toys and stuff like that. Lunar Rover and all that. Yeah, Mattel.
7 is Kool-Aid.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, you guys never had it in the pack.
I did.
Did you, Dawson?
Made a lot of it, yeah.
Okay. Because you had to add your own sugar to that.
Yeah.
You can make it where you're like in a coma. Like, oh, my God.
I don't know if I did or not.
It came in a little packet.
6 is Monopoly.
That game. Pass out all the money, all the cards, and put the hotels on the board, and then start the game.
If you ask someone, did you cheat at Monopoly, and they tell you no, they're a liar.
Yeah.
Everybody cheats at Monopoly.
That game takes 4 days to play. It's like watching cricket.
Top 5 brands that remind you of your childhood. Number 5 is Disney.
Yeah. That was after football at 6 o'clock on NBC. The Wonderful World of Disney.
And everybody grows up with Disney. Yeah. 4 is Hot Wheels.
Wish I had all my set.
3 is Play-Doh. Okay, I didn't get grounded a ton as a kid. I was a pretty good kid.
You ate Play-Doh.
No, I got Play-Doh stuck all over new carpet.
Oh. Ooh.
My mother was pissed. It was bad. I couldn't go see Franklin the Turtle at Barnes & Noble. They had like a Franklin that dressed up in the suit. I didn't know that. Of course, at my age, I'm thinking it's Franklin.
Actually,
it's the real turtle. We had a big plan on a Saturday to go, and little me playing with Play-Doh gets stuck all in the carpet.
That was my
punishment. I couldn't go see Franklin. To this day, it stuck with
me. Good consequences.
It stuck with me.
It's good parenting right there.
It sounds like, talking about Franklin, I think I would do the same thing not to see Franklin.
I love Franklin.
Oh, what? Watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, Play-Doh in the rug.
I think Mrs. Woolchuck saw that Play-Doh in the rug and said, sweet, we're not going to see Franklin.
Probably.
Yeah. Mrs. Woolchuck.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad part, what? He was 13 years old at the time.
At 13, I loved me some
Dad Franklin. Was out back smoking a cig, ready to light the car up. Hey, we going? No.
Hell yeah, let's go get breakfast, honey.
Young Zach just mashed Play-Doh all in the rug. Yay!
Yeah. Same day I shoved my sister in dog poop. Number two is Legos.
Legos.
Are, Lego
until
day.
You step on one.
But number one, brand that reminds you of your childhood, Nintendo.
Yes, sir. Got to run. Had to save up and buy my own for $80. Didn't even have Super Mario Brothers. One controller. Okay,
nice.
that was slumming a lot of lot
raw dogging it over there. Huh?
And you got like $4 a lawn back then. That was '86, boy. Okay, we're live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall. Thanks to our friends at Stella Artois. Come fellowship with us. Crack a couple of coldies, and we're back with Mark Schlereth talking Super Bowl here next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Let's talk with Mark Schlereth. Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And a good afternoon to you, Mark. How the heck are you?
Well, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. You know, Cowboys have a coaching staff now. It's Schottenheimer head coach and Eberflus is defensive coordinator, as I'm sure you've seen. Now, yesterday in all of his media, Shoddy talked about, you know, wanting to do more shifts and motions. How difficult is it to install that from your perspective? Can he get that cooking in one off season?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any question. I mean, the shifts and the motions, and you know, it's how you use that stuff, right? And you know, the kind of philosophical approach behind that is different personnel groupings, different shifts, different motions, changing the strength of the formation, getting guys to run with your motion and adjusting your motion. And what really ends up happening to you, and, you know, I think where it becomes problematic for a defense is, one, you can out-leverage a defense by the way you can get somebody moving in motion and with speed and then snapping it when you have an advantage as somebody's following across the formation, or if they're just kicking across the formation, meaning they're playing like some type of zone, you can get an automatic leverage to maybe a wide side of the field, that type of thing. So that's one. I think the biggest thing that motion has really kind of become very prominent in the NFL, and I'll go back to San Francisco for this, is you can gain with your motions 6 to 8 inches of real estate for offensive linemen to get on, you know, the backside to cut off a linebacker to create a great angle on a defensive end. And that's really one of the big areas. So it's just an advantage of creating a little bit of leverage so that I get my guy in a better position to block your guy. And that's the really good teams. That's what they use a ton of motion for, is to really get those run game advantages.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of negative reaction to this hire. Obviously, it does just not have the eyeball or the sexiness that maybe you'd want, or a candidate for other jobs. But it kind of feels like, at least in that regard, the Cowboys are heading in the right direction, Stink?
Yeah, I mean, I like Shoddy. Shoddy's a good dude. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, the issue is, and you guys know this, when Jerry comes in and says, you know, I mean, what Jerry says in the press conference, I just was like, I felt bad Schottenheimer sitting between Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. And the look on his face was just like, would you guys please shut up? You're not doing me any favors. Like, there's so many things that were said. And I didn't listen to the entirety of the press conference, I'll be honest with you. But the pieces that I heard, the stuff we put on Breakfast Ball this morning, I was like, oh, my God, he's got to just be thinking, gosh, please. You know, when Stephen Jones talks about, you know, air quotes and saying, you know, you're our drought. You know, you guys called it a drought. And you're just like, dude, you ain't won nothing in 30 years, and you're the Dallas freaking Cowboys. And Jerry's like, hey, I'm not afraid, you know, to make a risky decision, and, you know, the odds of this working out are not good, or whatever he said. You know, of course, I'm you know, being facetious to some degree, but that's what it came out sounding like. I was like, Lord have mercy, this poor guy is already, you know, kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak, just based upon the press conference.
Have you ever heard another person in the NFL qualify success as winning regular season games?
No. Uh-uh. The whole press conference was a mess. So anyhow, but that's Cowboys football at this particular point in time, which is a shame to say, but it's just at this point, it's just a fact.
Yeah, it sucks, Stink. I mean, they're hanging banners for the sixth winningest franchise since 2010. It's unbelievable. They did hire Eberflus as the defensive coordinator. What do you think of that addition? Did you get to call any Bears games with him as the head coach?
Oh yeah, I like Eberflus, and I think there's a lot of guys. You know, the old Peter Principle book where you rise to the level of your incompetence, and you know, I think Eberflus, historically, he's very well respected as a defensive coordinator, does a really good job with that stuff. And, you know, you got the opportunity to be a head coach, and just maybe you don't have a dynamic enough personality, whatever the case may be, really didn't work out. I get it, but there's a lot of guys that came from either a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator that got their opportunities to be a head coach, and it never really worked out. And so, you know, those guys, I mean, Vic Fangio had 5 defensive coordinator jobs before he got the head coaching job in Denver. And I remember sitting in a meeting with him, you know, and it was during COVID, so we had to do it on Zoom. And I hate meeting coaches. I mean, I hate meeting anybody in Zoom. I like to go meet in person. But, you know, I met with him on a Zoom, and I swear he was doing his taxes while we were having a conversation about football. Like, I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't need to talk to this guy anymore. It's like talking to your PE coach from, you know, from junior high school. So, but he's a brilliant defensive coordinator, right? So there's a big difference there. I remember talking to Kyle Shanahan about the difference between being an offensive coordinator and a head coach. He goes, you know, when things didn't work well as an offensive coordinator, I locked myself into my office for 3 days. I wouldn't come out. I wouldn't shower. I would figure out ways to fix things. He goes, as a head coach, you got to get up. You got to shower every day. You got to meet the press. You got to take care of all these other issues on your football team. But, you know, everything comes across your desk. It's just a different dynamic. And then you've got to be able to address the entirety of the team. And you lose some of that ability to coach individuals. You have to coach your coaches and present to them what you want taught. And then they have to go out and present it to the players. So there's just a difference. You lose a little bit of that player-coach connectivity, and it's more coach-to-coach connectivity. And some guys handle it well. Some guys obviously don't.
What's your early read on the Super Bowl matchup?
Listen, I would tell you if I went from a confidence pick standpoint, right, I would tell you every position with the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, I think their offensive line is better. I think their wide receiver slash tight end combination is better with Philadelphia. Their running back is better with Philadelphia. I think D-line is a better combination of D-linemen, better different depth of rotation. I think their linebacking core is better. I think their secondary is better. But I think the Kansas City Chiefs have one of the greatest coaches that ever coached on offense and one of the great defense coordinators in the National Football League. And, oh, by the way, they have a quarterback whose pulse never rises, regardless of the situation. And so, you know, ultimately, I think Philadelphia is a better team, but it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And the way they have been coached and the way they play and the way they execute in critical moments, there's nobody I trust more in a critical moment. And the bottom line is, I go back to the AFC Championship game. The Buffalo Bills had everything they ever wanted. You know, people can complain about the officiating, like, whatever. I've complained plenty. I'm not going to complain anymore. But the bottom line is that Buffalo Bills got the ball. First, they chased points early in the game, which I think is stupid. Two, they got the ball with 3.5 minutes, 3 minutes and 25 seconds left with a chance to tie it with a field goal or win it with a touchdown, and they took a dump in their helmets. They couldn't convert on third down and one. They couldn't convert on fourth down and one. And then they couldn't stop the Kansas City Chiefs on a third down and nine, where they dumped it to Piron. He gets 17 yards. It's the first time he touched the ball all game. So say what you want, but in critical moments, the Kansas City Chiefs find a way to make a play that they need to, and nobody else seems to be able to do it like the Chiefs. So with that, I'd give the advantage to the Chiefs, even though I think Philadelphia's got a better overall roster.
Stink, do you worry at all? I mean, you mentioned right off the jump about the Eagles' offensive line better. Do you worry about their injuries, or is this going to be we get to Super Bowl Sunday and everybody's going to be fine?
Yeah, well, I think Cam Jurgens would be fine. You know, he had the back injury. He came back in the second half and played once Landon Dickerson went out. But think about this, guys. I mean, think about your all-pro guard in Landon Dickerson moves over to center, right? And you bring in a backup guard because your Pro Bowl center is out. You bring up a backup guard, and you don't miss a beat. On the first play of the game, you go 60 yards for a touchdown from Saquon Barkley on a little crack toss. And the next thing you know, Landon Dickerson hurts his knee and has to leave, and your starting center, who's out with an injury, goes back in, and you still don't miss a beat. And I don't even know who played left guard, but I'm watching the coach's tape, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? This guy's great. This guy would start on every team in the National Football League, and he's a backup for the Eagles, and I don't even know who he is, but he's just kicking ass. So, like, do I worry about it? Not really.
You're the man, Mark. We'll talk to you next week live from Radio Row in New Orleans, if you don't mind. Thank you so much for your time.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he is, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Where we find ourselves today is Rockwall, right on the other side of the lake here, off 30 at the Brass Tap. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. And we're back with an edition of The Finest. Chief, what's cooking?
What history says about Mahomes versus Dick Fangio next year in the nation.